The universal cry of humanity is, I thirst. And the universal tragedy of humanity is that it is always looking to quench that thirst in the wrong places.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is love that suffers, and it's based on two words in the 28th verse of John 19, I thirst. We ought to be a deeply appreciative people. We ought to be overwhelmingly grateful to Jesus Christ in view of the great suffering He endured in our behalf on the cross. And I believe that suffering in capsule form is expressed in this expression, I thirst. When Jesus said, I thirst, I really believe He meant to say to us a number of things. We won't exhaust those things, but I'd like to give you at least a skeletal outline of three of them. He meant to say, number one, I share in your humanity. God does not thirst. Our thirst is an evidence of our humanity, of our humanness. And Christ thirsted because He became a human being. He came to identify with us in our needs. When I think of the humanity of Jesus, I would say that the humanity of Jesus Christ is at least three things. One, the humanity of Jesus Christ is inscrutable. That means it's incomprehensible. It's beyond our ability to fully understand, fathom, or appreciate. The humanity of Jesus Christ is inscrutable. It's mysterious. The second thing I would say about that humanity is that it is humble. It's an expression of humility. Therefore, it is marvelous. And the third thing I would say about that humanity is that it is essential. Without it, the infinite gap between a holy God and a fallen world could never be bridged. But Jesus Christ became a man that He might bridge that gap. It is absolutely essential. It is mandatory. Mysterious, marvelous, and mandatory. Now, there's a second thing. There's a second thing that Jesus meant to say when He said, I thirst. He said, not only do I share in your humanity, but He said, I qualify to express mercy and to express it without hypocrisy. I think really that's what the scripture means when it says, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like His brethren, in order that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He became like us in all things in order that He might become truly, essentially, without hypocrisy, merciful. I thirst. It means I'm prepared to express mercy without hypocrisy. And then finally, I thirst means that I have borne your agony. I have borne your agony. I have borne your anguish. There's no need for any man, woman, or child listening to my voice to bear the brunt, the agony, and the anguish of their own sins. Jesus Christ has already made atonement for their sins. Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for their sins. I have borne your agony. And that expression, I thirst, is a manifestation of that truth. Now, as I look at that agony which Jesus Christ has already borne for us, I would say it is twofold. One, there was a physical agony. And then, of course, there was a spiritual agony. The supreme physical pain of the crucifixion may very well have been the feverish, blistering thirst represented in this statement in John 19, verse 28, from the cross. And there were many things that contributed to that thirst. The composite of a whole host of things, until from swollen and perhaps splitting lips, there fell one word, one pent-up word of agony, I thirst. But not only was it a physical agony, it was also a spiritual agony. It's interesting to follow the chronology of these utterances of Jesus from the cross. There are seven of them. And as you study the chronology of this statement, according to the best scholars, and there's kind of a jigsaw puzzle in all four of the Gospels, but it's possible to put the puzzle together. According to the best scholars, these words, I thirst, followed immediately the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is a powerful expression, by the way. And if there's anything inscrutable in all the words of Jesus from the cross, it's that statement. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son of God, forsaken in some inscrutable sense by God the Father, alienated, abandoned by the Father. And whenever a man stands abandoned by the Father, whenever a man stands in a state of alienation from God, you can be sure that he will be thirsty. You can be sure that he's in the arid desert of God-forsakenness. And so chronologically, this statement, I thirst, follows that statement. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it means that spiritually his thirst was the effect of the agony of his soul in the fierce heat of God's wrath, the white heat of divine retribution. It describes the drought of the land where the living God is not, the awful state of those abandoned by God. Jesus Christ was abandoned by the Father so that you and I need never be abandoned. Jesus Christ was God forsaken by the Father so that you and I need never be God forsaken. And the immediate effect was not only the physical agony of thirst, but also the spiritual agony of being alienated from the Father. Jesus thirsted in this universal and ultimate way so that you and I need never experience the agony of spiritual thirst. I tell you, I thank God for that. I thank God that my thirst is quenched. I thank God that my soul is satisfied. I thank God that my spirit is redeemed and regenerated. And it's so because Jesus said, for me, I thirst. The universal cry of humanity is, I thirst. And the universal tragedy of humanity is that it is always looking to quench that thirst in the wrong places. Jesus made it very clear, John 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus made it very clear, over all the cisterns of this world, reservoirs where water is kept, over all the cisterns of this world's providing is written in letters of ineffaceable ink, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You can never be satisfied apart from Jesus Christ. Whosoever drinketh of this water, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Over all the cisterns of this world's providing, but over the wells of salvation, as Isaiah calls them, Isaiah 12 and verse 3, over the wells of salvation provided by Christ's suffering and agony on the cross are written these words, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it's a gift to be received. Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He uses that double negative, ume, the negative particle in the indicative mode and in the subjunctive mode. Ume, he shall not. He shall never. He shall never in any wise thirst. He shall never thirst. It's a positive promise. He shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus says, spiritual abundance becomes yours because spiritual agony was mine on the cross. Our thirst is satisfied because his was never quenched on the cross. The desert of the cross provides an oasis for you and for me. And we remember the death of Jesus and we thank him for what he has provided. So we're taught something by the statement of Jesus, I thirst. We're taught this. Jesus meant to say this. He meant to say, my friends, I share in your humanity. My friends, I am capable of expressing mercy without hypocrisy. I've been there ahead of you. I've already walked through the valley. I've known the thirst which produces death. I can meet your needs, no matter how deep or devastating they may appear to be. He says, my friends, I have already borne your agony, physical and spiritual. And so the dear Lord, he invites us. He gives us this invitation. Listen to me now. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst. Maybe there's one here, and you're athirst. You've been drinking at the wrong cisterns, the wrong reservoirs of water. They're polluted. They're diseased. You've been seeking for satisfaction in some other sphere of life. You can only find it in Jesus Christ. Every man who is athirst, Jesus gives this invitation, come, and whosoever will, the one willing, literally, if you're willing, if you'll humble yourself before Christ, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's God's invitation to the man who's lost. Come and receive him. Come and drink of the water he provides. He thirsted that your thirst might be quenched and satisfied. And then there's a warning for those of us who are God's people. And I think it's the warning that Jeremiah enunciated in the Old Testament in the second chapter of his prophecy in verse 13. And this is what he said, for my people, maybe some of God's people here by way of application, for my people have committed two evils, two abominations. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I think that's God's warning to those of us who are Christians. Some of us have a way of coming and drinking of the wells of salvation, and then we go back to the cisterns of this world. They're polluted, they're diseased, and they're destructive in our lives. And so there's that word of warning in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. And I think God is saying to us, how can we look at the cross and see the limits to which our Savior went in order to redeem our souls and save our souls? How can we look at the cross and see that he thirsted so that our thirst might be quenched and then go back to the cisterns of this world? How can it be? It may be that that's exactly what some of us have done. And it may be that we ought to come and lay our life on the line once again for Jesus Christ and say humbly and honestly, Pastor, and more importantly, God, I've drunk of the wells of salvation, but in my foolishness, I've gone back to the cisterns of this world, to those polluted, diseased cisterns. And by the grace of God, I'm coming to yield my life fully and completely to Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Every one of us should understand and live by the implications of our Christian baptism.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.